This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show, we'll get a preview of Ohio Chautauqua and hear about the history of Chautauquas. First up, Cincy Stories is using the power of storytelling to help boost listening, understanding, and empathy in our communities. It's doing this through live storytelling each month, short documentary videos, and community engagement. And thanks to a partnership with the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, Cincy Stories is starting a new Street Stories website and opening a story gallery where visitors can watch stories and tell their own. Joining us to discuss Cincy Stories are Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation event and public outreach coordinator Sarah Dotter, and from Cincy Stories, Executive Director Sean Braley and Creative Director Chris Ashwell. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sarah, Sean, and Chris, thanks for joining me today. Good to see everybody.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Sean, tell us, how did Cincinnati Stories come to be?
Cincy Stories, it was really actually, so I'm a pastor in the city, of a church called Sanctuary OTR, and we, were wanting to build community, through our church. And then we decided, like, hey, what if we could actually build community in a larger way where there was no religious affiliation, no requirements or any of that kind of stuff. We could just build community with anybody. That would be such a bigger and more beautiful picture of what community really is. And the best way that I know to do that is storytelling. And I love This American Life. I love The Moth. I love all these storytelling organizations that are out there. And so I realized that Cincinnati doesn't have a lot of that going on. There are some storytelling organizations out there, but we wanted to be able to bring that to the people and get the city to tell our stories together. And so we just thought of an idea to, we know some guys over at Motor Pub, and we're like, hey, can we do this event in your basement? And it was on February 3rd of 2015. And I just tweeted actually at Chris Seelbach and Molly Wellman. And I said, hey, we're doing this storytelling thing. Will you come and share a story? And I didn't know how to explain it to them. I didn't know what details to give them, because I didn't even know. I was just like, okay, people standing in front of other people telling a story. That's literally all we've got. So they surprisingly said yes to this tweet and showed up. And so did Ryan Messer. And then we had another guy named Gary Smith who came out and shared his story too. And it was just a wonderful time, like really incredible to see people engage with the stories. We probably had like 75 people show up, and the basement at Motor probably fits like 50. So it just, there was an energy there, and it was like we were tapping into something that people wanted and that we didn't even know, hey, is this what people want? I just knew that I personally really would love to hear the stories of my neighbors and the people that make up this city. And so that's how we started. We just started with just that one event, and then we decided, okay, let's keep doing this. And it's gotten here from there.
And you got some inspiration from public radio programs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Chris, how many stories have you gathered so far?
It's hard to think of a specific number of how many stories we have so far, between the live shows, as well as you said, we do the short documentaries. It's in the tens, close to the hundreds now, close to 100 now, I would say, that we've collected. And that's really where I came into the picture with Sean was, we just happened to work together, and he said he was doing this live storytelling thing, and I'm very much the same way. I love This American Life. I love The Moth, and I like to produce. I do video production. So I said we really could take this further. We could really build this into something that could be multifaceted besides just the live events, and we could really find some ways to really dig into the community. And really get our hands dirty with community as opposed to just having these live events, which are fantastic. But we knew there was something that we could do more with it.
So when did you start exactly? How long has it been?
February? February of 2015 was the first event.
Okay. So, and you've got in the hundreds already.
I mean, no. We may be getting close to 100.
You're getting close to 100 mark. Well, that's still pretty good. You have an idea of in your heads, have you ever talked to each other and said, we want to collect this many stories eventually?
We don't have like a number. We're not capping it on anything. We would love to get every story in Cincinnati because there's actually, to continue on the This American Life bandwagon, there's a quote by Ira Glass where he said, good stories happen to those who can tell them. And so we believe that everybody has a story, and we want to help people learn how to tell their story because we think everybody has one.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. We've got some clips from Cincy Stories, and let's listen to the first one. This is from one of your live events.
The server brings us our food, and I took my first bite of the sandwich, and I instantly said, not enough gravy. So I looked around for the bowl of gravy, and there it was, right next to me, to my right, between me and one of the stranger neighbors. So I took my spoon, and I ladled a heaping spoonful of gravy and dumped it onto my sandwich. And then I took a second ladle spoonful and dumped it onto my sandwich. And then I ladled up a third spoonful. And suddenly I realized that the conversation at the table had come to a complete stop. Everybody was staring at me. And one of the strangers says, what on earth are you doing? So I looked at my sandwich, I looked at my spoon, and I looked at the bowl of gravy. And for the first time, I realized that wasn't a bowl of gravy, but instead it was my neighbor's cup of coffee. And I'd accidentally ladled two spoonfuls of their coffee onto my sandwich. I like to remind myself that story periodically, just to remember not to take myself too seriously.
That's a great story.
Yes, that's one of
I love
favorites.
That. What's the story behind that story, Sean?
So, yeah, Paula.
That's Paula Eisen.
Yeah,
right?
Paula okay. Eisen, and she's a transgender activist in the city. And she had just moved to Cincinnati and was hanging out with a friend that she had and then some strangers that she had just met. And they went to a diner, and she loves open-faced roast beef. That's her favorite meal. And so she just shared this embarrassing story with us, and it's seriously one of our favorite stories, just because it, like, the way that she builds it and everything is just so hilarious.
And you know, I think what it represents is what we're looking for is not necessarily your story, your whole story. We're just looking for a story.
And does it necessarily have to be humorous?
Not at all. No. It really runs the gambit. I mean, some of the stories are funny throughout. Some of the stories have some points of humor and also some points of drama or sadness or tension. And then some have both extremes throughout the entire story. So, yeah, we like to encourage any of our storytellers to really dig deep, not go with what they may think is the obvious story. You know, we have a lot of business owners, a lot of politicians. We try to get people to tell stories from their life that are super relatable, and maybe the stories you wouldn't have heard in other forms of news or media.
But these can be stories on any topic.
Any topic.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, if you think about when you're telling stories around a dinner table with friends, that's what we want Cincy Stories to feel like, is this isn't, okay, let me inspire you. I mean, that can happen. Let me tell you my whole life story or anything like that. Like Chris said, a story like that is a story that you would tell to a friend and you'd all laugh together. And so even if it's a dramatic story or anything, like, we want real community to be built. And when you kind of tell a whole life story, you can't really get into the nitty gritty of it. And you miss out on a lot of details, and you miss out on truly connecting to the person and who they are. So if they're doing a TED talk where they're talking about like a business type thing, you might get really excited about what they're doing, but you're not really getting to know who they are. And so we're very concerned with who people are, not necessarily what they're doing.
Sean, has there ever been any one particular story that just really stood out to you from all the stories that you've heard so far?
Oh, man. Yeah, there's been a lot, but my favorite story goes back to one that happened last May. So not this past month, but the year before that, from a stand-up comedian named Alex Stone. And he just shared about a friend of his who had passed away in Afghanistan in the war, and how he ran the Flying Pig Marathon in commemoration of him. And so this is a stand-up comedian. He's a funny guy, but he's sharing this really heartfelt story. But then when he recounts his experience of running the marathon, he's not like some fit guy. This is a new experience for him. So it's hilarious to hear that part, but then it's so poignant to hear why he did it and what his heart was behind it.
Chris, I'll put you on the spot too. What's been your most favorite story that you've heard, or maybe the most unexpected that's come out of all this?
Sure. Yeah. We'll hear it in a bit. I think we have another clip from Yvette Simpson, but meeting with Yvette Simpson is somebody, Councilwoman Yvette Simpson, was really amazing. We did one of our documentary style films with her. So she was kind enough to invite us into City Hall, and we sat down in her office, and it was kind of an instant, this is the media kind of thing, and kind of giving us the same speech. You know, I did my background research on her, and I had watched some things and read some interviews, and she was kind of going with that kind of stump speech at first. And what really was great was, as we started to ask the questions and we started to dig a little bit deeper, she really let us in, even to the point that we didn't add some things to the video because we just, you know, didn't want to exploit those emotions. But she really, it really was this motion, this moment of realizing that when you ask somebody to tell a story and you really, really ask the right questions and really tell them that you care, you can really find things out about a person that you never would have. You know, this is a person who's in the spotlight a lot and constantly, you know, and you find things out about a person just through that storytelling experience.
Let's go ahead and listen to that clip from Yvette Simpson.
I love the first day I came into work. We sat on the dais, had our council meeting, and I look out in the audience and I see this young girl. She's got to be about 12 or 13 years old, I can tell, because she's got that right kind of style. You know, she's kind of got the bow popping right here, and she's kind of got a little sleeve right here. So I know she's probably around that age where she's too cool for school. And I come down and I step down from the dais, and she looks at me and she says, "You're beautiful and you inspire me." And it's a tough story to tell without kind of tearing up, because I was that girl. And my story is one that I think is not unlike a lot of our kids in our community. It was tough. There was some back and forth and some up and down, you know, growing up in poverty. I was raised by my grandmother without either of my parents. My dad, drug addicted, 20 years. My mom, mentally ill. And my grandmother was struggling to raise four of her grandchildren after raising eight of her own children. I remember we were a part of the WIC program, which is a program that provides milk and cheese and other things to families that are needy. And it was my job on Tuesday morning, early, between 6 and 7, to go down and get the WIC basket before somebody stole it. You know, waking up early in the morning to make sure that the milk and cheese and eggs that we needed made it in the house.
Yeah, Cincinnati Councilmember Yvette Simpson, and that's a great story. Do you find that everybody's got a story?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people, when you talk to them and say, "Do you have a story?" they might say no. They might be like, "Oh, I don't really have anything important to share." But if you really dig deep, you're going to find a story in there, whether it's about open-faced roast beef and an embarrassing moment with coffee and gravy, or whether it's about growing up in poverty. There's a wide array of what a story can do and what a story is in our own lives.
And there's so many ways to relate. I didn't grow up necessarily in poverty, but Yvette went on to talk a lot about her grandmother and how her grandmother played such an important role in raising her, really did raise her. And my grandparents were a huge part of my upbringing as well. I spent basically every weekend over there. So there was just that connection. Like, you know, we may have grown up in different circumstances, but there is something about her story that I can relate to instantly.
We will continue our conversation about Cincy Stories, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about Cincy Stories with Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation event and public outreach coordinator Sarah Dodder, and from Cincy Stories, Executive Director Sean Braley and Creative Director Chris Ashwell. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Sarah, now we have the partnership going on between Walnut Hills and Cincy Stories. Tell us how that got started.
I think that got started how a lot of things in Walnut Hills, a lot of ideas get started. A conversation at Parkside Cafe, which is a little like cafe diner that we have in the neighborhood. I think Chris and I sat down with my boss, Kevin, Sean and I sat with my boss, Kevin, and Sean wanted to find out how to get more plugged into Walnut Hills. He had kind of an idea germinating. So I think the first part of that was a Cincy Stories about Walnut Hills. So Walnut Hills residents telling Walnut Hills stories to other Walnut Hills residents that happened at the Greenwich. And it was an incredible night. We had about three or four people scheduled to tell stories who, you know, Sean connected with. He was really good about going around and talking to everyone. And then we had this opportunity to have kind of like open mic stories. So we had three or four more stories from that, and that was just a really incredible experience. And then my boss, Kevin, stumbled upon this website. I think it's from a neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was a New York Magazine website that they did called One Block, where they tell the stories of all the residents on one whole block.
So the idea is you go to this website and you can kind of click on a house and the people come out of the house and tell you their story. And that's a really cool thing. And it seemed like a natural partnership. So we connected with Sean and Chris and we're like, how can this happen? How can we do this for Walnut Hills and discuss different ways that could be? And they took in all of those ideas and came back to us with a really cool concept. And then we're like, hey, wait a minute. What if we did a little bit more and you guys had like a drop-in space where people can literally come and interact and tell stories and all of that? And that's the Cincy Story Street Gallery. Street Stories?
Street Stories is the website that we're doing. So the Street Stories will be a interactive website that you can go, and eventually we'd like to hit every neighborhood in Cincinnati. So it's an ambitious project, but we're starting in Walnut Hills, and it will be kind of a view, overhead view of the neighborhood that will have points of interest you can click on throughout the neighborhood, and there'll be different multimedia stories. So there'll be videos, there'll be some audio stories, and there'll be some written stories, and even some photo essays. And then that was what we had proposed to the Redevelopment Foundation. That was a huge surprise to us when they said, what would you do with a space? And especially a beautiful space in the newly remodeled Treveran Flats on McMillan. And so we mulled it over. We decided that we wanted to do what we're calling a story gallery, which we really haven't been able to find any past examples of. Yeah. And so the story gallery is going to be an interactive experience, storytelling experience, where we have a story wall for people to be able to view Walnut Hills resident stories. We have a story booth where people are able to tell their story in the booth. Kind of most importantly, I think, is our conversation area. So we just have a nice lounge area where people can come together, and we have some story starters is what we call them on the table. And these, you know, it's hard to say like, hey, will you tell me a story? A lot of times people kind of blank, and it's hard to think of one. But we have all these examples of story starters, like tell me a story about your first job, you know, tell me a story about a time you disappointed your parents, just these things that probably everybody has some reference for a story for.
So now you've got both the online and the brick and mortar going with the Walnut Hills project.
Right.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and Josh in Florence joins us now. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
You guys are talking about stories and, you know, the stuff going on at the zoo and everything. I was a non-traditional student at Thomas More. Got my environmental science degree, I have a young daughter. And so I'm in the car one day, and I tell her, she asked me something about why don't squish the bug. So I start telling her, well, sweetie, you have to think about it, that everything is just as important as other things. You know, does a dog have hair? Do we have hair? Eyes. And she's, yes, yes, yes. I said, well, sweetie, if all those things are the same between us and a dog, then where's the difference? And she says, well, Daddy, dogs eat dog food.
Well, she got you.
The wisdom of children.
I've told this story a million times in the classes, and you know, it really does. The simplicity of a thought and that one little thing at the end of a story really can make a change. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Josh, thank you very much. And I guess Josh shows that's the kind of story. Anybody has a story. Those are the kinds of things that you're looking for.
Yeah. And we really want to, you know, a lot of times with our live events and things, we've reached out to people who may already be known in the community. But a huge factor of this, and something that's really important to us, is empowering those in the community who feel like their stories aren't important, or that, you know, that their stories aren't big enough, or they're not inspiring enough, or they're not, you know, whatever adjective you want to use. They are, and they're just as important to our identity as that business owner or as that yeah. politician.
And we, I'm really excited when we get to sit down with somebody, because we meet with every storyteller, especially for the live event. I mean, obviously, if we're filming them or whatever, we meet with them. But if for a live event, we kind of go over a story structure with them. We kind of talk through what their story is going to be, so that way we can work it out before they get on stage. And I love when people are like, I don't really know if I have a story. And then by the end of the conversation, they have like three that they're trying to choose
from.
Yeah. And we've had that specifically. Even we have an event coming up this Tuesday at Motor Pub in Over the Rhine on June 7th. And we have one of the storytellers is a local photographer named Nina Wells, who recently had an exhibit in the Globe Gallery, People's Liberties Globe Gallery, called King Me. And her story is like captivating after we actually sat down and worked through it with her. But before we did, she was like one of those people that's like, I'm going to stand on the stage and tell a story. And like, no, I don't really have a story. And it's like, no, you have so many stories. And all that we want to do is find out who you are, like who you really are, not just the photographer, who she's an incredible photographer and all of that stuff, but who are you as a person? And that's what we hope to do with everybody. And through that, also break down walls like Josh had with his daughter. Like, you're going to break down the walls and like build empathy and build understanding for people and for the world around you in a new way just by hearing stories from people that are similar to you and different from you.
Yeah, Sarah, what are you hoping Walnut Hills gains from this? What are you hoping the benefits are?
Well, I think exactly that. Excuse me. So one of our unofficial, or I guess it's an official hashtag that we have in the neighborhood, is hashtag We Are Walnut Hills. And we use it a lot, and it's really important because Walnut Hills is a lot of things, but I think a lot of times it gets seen as this neighborhood full of buildings and streets and needs, but it's a neighborhood full of people, and those people are incredibly important to the cultural identity of the neighborhood. They're the people who are the neighborhood. There's a song we used to sing in church. It's like, the church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is the people. And I always think about that in Walnut Hills, because although the Redevelopment Foundation's bread and butter is, you know, redeveloping buildings and making sure they're not crumbling into the sidewalk and the neighborhood can be healthy and safe and vibrant for everyone, we're doing it for everyone, including those people who are there, who have put in the years of hard work to create this incredible neighborhood. And I think through these stories, you know, we're going through a period of rapid change, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing, and it doesn't have to leave people out or leave people behind. And I'm really excited for the storefront because it's kind of a great symbol. It's in one of our newest projects, the Treveran Flats, which was a $10 million redevelopment project. It's historic, so it has that tie to history, but it's new, so it has the tie to now. And they've made the space into an incredibly comfortable space. It's like walking into your grandmother's living room. So anyone should feel comfortable coming in and sitting down having a conversation. And I think as we share those stories and have those conversations, you know, we can continue to move forward together and continue to make Walnut Hills be great forever and ever.
And Sean, I guess that was one of the goals then, was to help dispel myths and misperceptions about communities.
Yeah, definitely. Chris shared recently, we were talking about it, and he shared he's from Mason originally, and his family still lives out there. And he was like, I hope that this experiment, this street stories thing, can dispel that myth that like because we live in Walnut Hills actually. And our families might wonder, why do you live here? Because here's where we are and this is what we're used to. Why would you choose to live in this space? And it's because of, honestly, the people in the community. And what I thought was really interesting was Chris and I got to meet his family recently, and we were at his mom's house, and she collects all these really cool, beautiful antiques and loves to like just decorate the house with them. And then we went and did a story on a guy named Cecil Evans in Walnut Hills. Mm-hmm. And he literally did the exact same thing. And I was like,
kindred spirits.
Yeah.
And they would normally never communicate.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really easy to say like, okay, so you grew up in Mason, for myself. And then, you know, I know who you are. And to say you grew up in Walnut Hills, I know who you are. But it's not true. When you get to know a person, where the human experience is a lot more similar than it is different. The only way to find that out is through telling a story.
So what hours will the gallery keep?
The gallery will be open Tuesday through Saturday, from 11 to 8. And then we'll be closed on Sunday and Monday, but we'll be open later, actually. Most Fridays we're going to have gallery parties. And so we're going to have like music and food and stuff. And then we're going to have a few events throughout the month of June while we're doing this. So we might be open later than that on some days, but 11 to 8, Tuesday through Saturday is the typical hours.
Do people need an appointment, or they just show
just
up and tell their story?
Just walk in and you can tell your story. We'll have free coffee every day. Every Wednesday, we're having community dinners. And then June 10th, we're actually having a gallery opening party. So June today, right now, you can actually go there. We have
So you're actually open right now.
So you can go there. It's 961 East McMillan Street. You can just walk in. There's coffee available there for you. You can watch stories. You can tell your story. But we're going to be having on June 10th a big party where we're going to have free fireside pizza. We're going to have refreshments and everything. Woodburn Brewery has donated some of their alcohol to us as well to use for the event. And Woodburn Brewery and Fireside are both Walnut Hills businesses, so we want to really be present in the neighborhood with even the businesses that we use. And we're going to have that from 6 to 10 on Friday, June 10th. And that's kind of where we hope a lot of people will come in and be able to experience the space and get to know each other, whether they're in the neighborhood or whether they want to come from other neighborhoods and check it out.
And now you say you'd eventually like to do this in all 52 of Cincinnati's neighborhoods.
Yes. And even a few of the Northern Kentucky
I was going to say, what about Northern Kentucky? Okay.
Yeah. We have some pleas from people who are living in Northern Kentucky that we would come across the river. And so we do hope to hit those communities as well.
Now, how long will you be in the gallery in Walnut Hills? Do you have any idea how long that's going to stay open?
So we will at least be in there through June. And Model Group, who owns the space and is developing it, said, I mean, they're currently looking for tenants for this space. So we are not like leasing the space for an extended period of time. We just have it until they find a tenant that. So if somebody's listening and they want a space, I mean, we'd love to stay in the space as long as possible, but I'm sure Model Group would love to talk to you too. But we're at least in there for June. And then we'll stay in there as long as they let us, really.
We'll keep it updated on our website as well. It's cincystories.net.
Okay, and we have a link to that as well at wvxu.org. So where do you head after Walnut Hills? Do you have any ideas yet?
Oh, man. We have a few
people. Is everybody after you guys?
We actually have seen some jealousy from other redevelopment corporations or foundations.
Yeah.
There actually have been some people who are interested. So we're not completely sure.
Nothing solid yet. Though.
Yeah.
So nothing that we can be like, oh, we're going here next.
But if you're listening and you are a community leader in one of Cincinnati's neighborhoods or Northern Kentucky's neighborhoods, and you are interested in something like this, please reach out to us because we would be interested in going to every neighborhood.
Sarah, Sean, and Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Event and Public Outreach Coordinator Sarah Dodder, and from Cincy Stories, Executive Director Sean Braley and Creative Director Chris Ashwell. Coming up, we'll get a preview of Ohio Chautauqua. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.